Last month, I had breakfast at the Corner Cafe, a place that I have enjoyed many times over, and I was greeted warmly by their staff, as we often are. Hello, and how are you? But it wasn't until I went to leave that I was fully realized and fully known. I came to the counter, and the woman behind the counter looked at me straight in the eyes and exclaimed, "You're Peter's mom!" Peter apparently gets around quite a bit. Lest I would forget my identity and who I am, it's often the voice of others who remind us of who we are. God uses others to remind us of our vocation. This week, we continue a series of messages about I am. We are looking at calling and vocation in relation to who God is and who God calls us to be. Last week, we looked at God who made us fearfully and wonderfully. And this week, how do you live out who God has made you to be? What is God calling you to do? When we ask the question, who am I and who is God? Part of the answer is, and what should I be doing then with that information? If I know who I am, what are you calling me to do? This is ultimately a question of vocation. And for some of us, this is easy. For others, it's impossibly hard. And for even others, it shifts over time. There is a calling for a stage of life and a new way of calling into a different stage. For the child who always played with the dolls and school, it's understandable that they stepped into the role of being teacher and felt fulfilled in teaching children to read and write and empowering them to learn. For the individual who always wanted to care for others and was curious about healing illness, we celebrate our medical professionals, doctors and nurses, those who care well for our community. But for many of us, it's not quite that clear. There's a bit of discernment in the process. In fact, many of us feel lost trying to discover, what is God asking me to do right now in this stage of life? We work with youth and young people to discern their callings as they go through school. But sometimes, even when we have it all figured out, we get a little lost, or something changes. Sometimes it's a major event that changes our calling. On the 15th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, I want to share this story about renewed and reclaimed vocation. There is a story about a gentleman, Vaughn Alex, who was a ticket agent for American Airlines at Dulles International Airport, and by all accounts was very good at his job, proud of his role in helping others to travel. It was September 11, 2001, when two gentlemen arrived at the ticket counter on a rush to get onto their plane, American Airlines 77, out of Dulles International. This was before, you might remember, the days of TSA and the no-fly list, before such stringent airline regulations. At the time, Vaughn did what he ought, checked those folks through, and they got on the plane. It was the next day when he came to realize that in addition to processing the tickets of some retired folks and a student group, he had also checked in two of the terrorists who had gotten onto the plane that crashed in to the Pentagon. As others began to realize it, they would not speak to him. They began to blame him, and in turn, he blamed himself. He felt like there was no place for him in the world. His experience of loss was not like those who had lost a loved one on that day, or you and I who experienced national loss. He had a loss that involved blame. Had he done something wrong? Across years and discernment and his wife, Alex has shared since that he came out of the shadow, his words, into the light. He retired from the role of being at the airline and took that knowledge and that wisdom to the Department of Homeland Security, doing logistics for federal marshals patrolling the air. He found hope. He found purpose in a new vocation, a new calling. He speaks very clearly about this, to which he felt like he had no longer failed. A place where he could be redeemed. He was seeking and being sought. God used him in a new way. Jesus tells the parable of the woman looking for the lost coin and the shepherd looking for the lost sheep in a similar kind of way. Did you catch the beginning of what Sandy read of how the people were gathered around criticizing Jesus, saying he even eats with sinners? Those who had power didn't like. He was eating with those, you know, those kind of folks. It was the critiques that Jesus used to address in these two parables. God, who is deeply concerned with all God's people, sinners included, God's heart is to find all of us. It's a bit like when we're looking for our cell phones. It's a bit like how we tear the whole house apart, uncover the ringtone where we least expect it. It's a bit like when we're looking for the wedding ring and we shake out every piece of clothing and the blankets until we hear pling and rejoice of finding that which we've been looking for. How much more does God look for us than we look for a cell phone and a wedding ring? When we are lost, God does not stop until we are found. Now, for some of us, we've been found before the darkness of night ever settled in. For others, we've been lost longer than we can remember. The one thing we cannot change is that all of us at some point have known what it is to be lost. May we all know what it is to be found. In fact, many of us are repeatedly lost. But God has never stopped looking for us and never stopped searching, sweeping the floors wildly in search of the coin, in search of the sheep, in search of us who are repeatedly found. As we gather this morning, there's a team from our congregation down in Crisfield, Maryland, on the eastern shore doing some risk reduction mission work in relation to Superstorm Sandy that will have happened 4 years ago in October. I was down with them on Friday and much of yesterday, and many stories will come out of this experience, but this one I want to share this morning. I want to tell you the story about a man who was part of the mission work that we were doing. He works at United Methodist Volunteers in Mission Site, and he does the project management of various houses, what is needed, and the like. He's a local guy. He grew up in Crisfield, and from the age of 14, worked on his skills of being a carpenter. He learned some just his own self, and the rest he studied so that he could do the best carpentry he could. He told me this. He had two things he wanted to balance. He wanted to balance carpentry, and he wanted to balance his drinking. He thought that he balanced them pretty well. He enjoyed his time with his friends, and this is how he related to his family. He balanced it pretty well for the first 45 years of his life. And he tells the story until one day he pulled up to the bar he always went to after work, met his friends, met his wife, met his daughter even at the bar. And as he pulled up in the cab of the truck, he felt like someone was in the cab next to him. Now I looked over, there was no one sitting there, but he was sure that there was someone sitting there. He was sure that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "When are you going to follow me?" And it was like this, he felt like the presence left the cab of the truck, and he had to decide, am I going in to see my friends who I've always spent time with? Or am I going to answer this question that's been laid upon my heart? He said, I don't know what my drinking buddies are going to think. I don't know what my wife of 24 years is going to think, or my daughter, who's only known me one way. The dad, the husband, the man changed, and it was rocky. He said, very honestly, I thought we were going to get divorced. It was a very rocky time for him. Ultimately, his wife and his daughter, who's now a missionary in Honduras, came also to be found by Jesus. And it was here, in this mission work, in his own hometown, that he found meaning and that he found purpose. It took years to get lost. It took some years to get found as well. Seeking and being sought, redemption in the most ordinary of circumstances. So I wonder, do you know what it's like to be lost? Have you had that experience of feeling like there's not a lot of purpose or meaning for each of us who's lost in fear, for each one of us who's lost in anxiety or in worry, who's lost in addiction or in grief, for those of us who are lost in the numbing the pain of life so we don't have to deal with the hard stuff that's around us. For each one of us who's lost without purpose, looking for vocation, for meaning, it is Christ who searches. It is for us that Jesus never stops looking. It's for us that God hunts until we're found. We give thanks for each and every time that God has uncovered us again, found us in the midst of our own loss. Now, for others of us, we've been sought and we've been found, but we're not off the hook just yet. We're not on permanent holiday because we've been found. We too have some looking and some searching to do. We who can feel that loss have to offer to those who are still lost. Nothing is beyond God. Those who have run away and those who have been lost all the time, no one is beyond God. Now, most of the time, it's a bit like my experience at the corner cafe. We knew who we were all along. I never forgot that I was Peter's mom, or Elizabeth's mom, or Felicity's mom, for that matter. However, there are times in which being found is not just about head knowledge. It's about love. It's about care. It's about purpose. And it's about meaning. When life changes, when we're lost, when we're not sure what the purpose is for the next stage of life, God's never stopped looking for us. God never stopped offering opportunities for that meaningful purpose. God never stopped looking for you. God never stops finding us. The good shepherd, the diligent housewife, God has found us. Thanks be to God. Amen.